Taken from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the story of Naaman the Syrian was used by Jesus very early in his ministry, according to the Gospel of Luke. The way Luke tells the story, his first appearance is to be baptized by John the Baptist, southern region of Judea, way to the south, down by the Dead Sea. Then he is driven out into the Judean desert, which is just utter desolation, for 40 days and 40 nights there, tempted by the devil as a kind of prelude to determine if Jesus is ready to take on the problem of sin and evil in human life that he's been sent to come and deal with. Having overcome the temptations, he returns to Galilee, his hometown, Nazareth. It's the Sabbath. And he's handed a scroll. And the scroll is opened up. It's from the prophet Isaiah, to a text that is designed to describe the role of the Messiah. Of course, nobody thinks of Jesus as the Messiah at this point. He's a hometown boy. They've seen him grow up. He's just another, you know, hometown guy. So he's given the scroll, and the scroll goes something like this. "I have been anointed with the Spirit of God to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to make the lame walk, to set the captives free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he puts the scroll down. And everybody in the synagogue, and synagogues, by the way, the meaning of the term is place of assembly. They were used not just for worship like churches are, but they were used as community centers where people gathered. Anyway, the people of Nazareth are impressed by the way he reads it. And so they're all, "Gee, he was so gracious in the way he said it." But then he has some words for them that they don't like, they don't want to hear. And he quotes about 2 stories. The first is about Elijah, the prophet, who during a drought throughout the entire region, everybody was hungry. And Elijah, in the story, goes to this widow who is a Gentile up in Sidon, which is now in Lebanon. And there she says, "I have nothing to eat, I have nothing to give you." And Elijah says, "Don't worry, you'll have enough." And she does. And so Jesus points out to the crowd, "When the heavens were shut up, nobody was fed except this woman from Phoenicia, this Sidonian, a foreigner." And then he tells the story of Naaman, the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian is a great general from the neighboring kingdom of Aram, which is now Syria. And Naaman is known for his prowess on the battlefield. He wins every battle he leads his men into. He is a great warrior with a magnificent reputation. So this guy, who is lauded by everybody, you can imagine the kind of attention he's given. Everybody bows and scrapes in his presence. Everybody affords him this enormous esteem. I mean, he just bursts with pride, practically. So he looks at his skin, he sees a spot, and he realizes he's got leprosy. And my goodness, if there's anything that will convince somebody who's of great renown and who's got pride enough to burst through their breasts, somebody who's put on a high pedestal by everybody, somebody whom everybody admires, if there's anything that will make that person feel like they're just the same as everybody else, they're just a part of the human race with the same brokenness, dependency, and needs as everybody else, it's when you get a disease like leprosy that can't be treated. So this Israelite slave girl tells Naaman's wife that there is a prophet in Israel who can cure him. This is Elisha, the guy who takes over for Elijah. And so Naaman the Syrian decides to go and see if this prophet can actually cure him of his leprosy, because he knows, you know, he may be able to defeat every army, but leprosy, that levels him down to the level of everybody else, down to the poorest slave. So off he goes. And when he gets to Elisha's house, Elisha doesn't even deign to come out and greet the guy. He sends a messenger. And he says, Naaman, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Now, the Jordan River is a modest little river. Next to the rivers in Syria, it's no big deal. It's really very modest. And so Naaman's pride is violated. What's this? This prophet doesn't even come out and greet me and call on the name of the Lord his God and do his hocus pocus so I can be healed? What is this? He is so offended by the fact that he's not being treated as this great warrior by the prophet that he decides he's just going to leave in a huff. He would rather preserve his pride and die of leprosy than be cured and be leveled down to the level of everyone else. Fortunately, his advisors prevail on him. Master, come on. This is not difficult. You don't want to die. Go do what the prophet said. Okay, fine. So he washes himself 7 times, he comes up out of the river, and he's healed. And now he's a completely different guy. He says, now I know that there's no God except the God of the prophet Elisha. His pride has been shattered. He is a person now who recognizes his own humanity, his own brokenness, his own need for God's grace, and he's placed his faith in God. He's a different person. His faith has made him well. So Jesus cites this story also in that opening scene when he begins his ministry in Galilee, his first appearance. Before he starts healing and teaching, these two stories, And the people of Nazareth are so offended that he would quote two stories about Gentiles whom God has favored instead of them. The Israelites, the chosen people, the people who have descended from Abraham, the people who were led out of slavery, the people who received the law from Moses, the people who conquered the promised land, the people whom God chose and set apart to be a priesthood of believers for everyone else in the world. This chosen people, and he's citing two Gentiles instead? Who does this guy think he is? So they grab him, they take him to the brow of a hill. Nazareth is in a very hilly area, and they're going to throw him off. They are so because he's offended their pride in the same way that Naaman's pride was offended when the prophet wouldn't come out and greet him. Jesus makes his way through the crowd and leaves. That's the end of it. He scarcely returns to his hometown again. Now, this story relates, I think, very well to the story of the 10 lepers in this sense. Because you've got 10 lepers who are healed. One comes back, right? And it's a Samaritan. Now, we all know that Samaritans were looked down on by the Israelites, by everybody else, because they were mixed blood people. They were people who whose origin was from the former northern kingdom of Israel, mixed with others who had been resettled after the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed. Okay, so they're mixed blood. They don't worship in the same place. They don't recognize Jerusalem as the center of worship and as the place where the Holy of Holies exists. They don't recognize the line of David as the line from whom the Messiah will come. They're different. They hold to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but not to anything else, okay? So they're looked down on. In fact, your normal Judean or Galilean who is a Jew wouldn't have anything to do with a Samaritan. If they did, they would have to go through ritual cleansing to be purified again because they were considered unclean. So this Samaritan is not a person who has a lot of pride like Naaman did. He's the one who comes back. And then Jesus says to him something really odd. He says, "Your faith has made you well." But why would he say that when in fact Jesus is the one who made him well? Wasn't it? Wasn't it Jesus who cured those 10 lepers? I think it was Jesus who said, "Go show yourselves to the priests so that the priests know you're not unclean anymore and you can be returned back to the community." And then they were made clean, right? But Jesus says, no, it wasn't him who did it. It was his faith. How's that? How's that? Well, I think that what's going on there is the same thing as what went on with Naaman the Syrian. You see, the Samaritan comes back and gives thanks, not because he thinks he's anybody great and his pride was broken and replaced with the knowledge that he's no better, no worse than anybody else. He's a member of the human race. We're all the same. We're all subject to the same evils and difficulties and problems as everybody else. Doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter the lineage of your family. All of these externals matter not a whit. In the end, we're all the same. And we're all subject to the same diseases, the same problems, the same accidents, the same evil behavior, the same anything. Anything can happen to anybody, no matter who they are. So when those who think they're better, like Naaman the Syrian, who sets himself up on a pedestal, And he clings on to that identity, the identity forged by great exploits on the battlefield. Sure, that's admirable. A lot of people do things that are very admirable. Does that mean they're better than anybody else? But when people cling to that, whether it's achievements or wealth or power, when our identity is wrapped up in externals, when our identity is wrapped up in things that don't define who we really are, as people who have a heart that beats and needs the grace of God, when we set ourselves apart, thinking we're better, then that self, that old self, has to go before faith can be born. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he's going to have to pick up his cross and follow me. Because he that loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. That's what happened to Naaman. He lost that old life where he thought he was so much better than everybody else. And he found his new life in his faith in God. Now the Samaritan, he also lost his old life. The old life that was defined as somebody who God had rejected. The old life who was defined as somebody who was less value than everybody else. He's the guy who walked around with his head down to the ground, feeling like he was a nobody, a worthless, rejected by God. People who won't even come near him because he'll make them unclean. He found himself too. He rejected that old self because he recognized that he had a God who loved him. And of course, the gratitude comes naturally for a person like that because they've been lifted up. Jesus at another point said, those who are exalted will be laid low. Those who are laid low will be exalted. That's exactly what we see happen in these two lessons. Naaman is laid low and he finds his life. It's not like, yeah, there was suffering there. It was painful to let go of his pride. But there was joy afterwards. And for the Samaritan, too, he actually gave up a very painful life and found joy in his faith. That's why Jesus said, your faith has made you well. It's not just the healing of the leprosy that changed this man. It was his relationship to a loving God who reached out to him, opened his eyes, enabled him to see that he was not worse, different, better, or not better than anybody else. He was another human being whom God loved. So when the eyes of faith are opened, we are enabled to see all of our brothers and sisters as people who are just like us. We're all the same. We're all human beings broken by sin, subject to tragedies and suffering, but who have a loving God who has gone to his own death to save and redeem us. And when our eyes are open to that, then that old self that either thinks it's worthless or better than everybody else dies away, and we begin to see ourselves and others as we really are. And when that happens, our faith has made us well. Amen.